You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
You know, Brain, it's crazy what a few weeks off will do for the body. Does the body good?
Oh, yeah. It's better than milk.
Yeah, it's great. We've had a nice little break, nice little hiatus, nice little time away. Got to hang out, got to watch some baseball. The temperature has gotten warmer where I am. I mean, it's just altogether good stuff. Got to watch some really mediocre Miami Heat basketball.
Well, we'll see. They were playing really mediocre basketball this time last year, and then they ended up in the finals. So we'll see how that goes.
It's crazy how that works out. Wacky team, the Miami Heat. But this isn't a Miami Heat show, Brain. This is a Miami Dolphins show. So we're going to talk about the Miami Dolphins. How's that sound?
That sounds good. There's a lot of stuff, I think, that's happened since we last did a show.
I know. It's interesting. The thing about the off season is that news tends to sort of like it's real busy, right? Like right at the end of the season, lots of things going on. You're building up to free agency. Free agents are getting signed. Lots of stuff is happening. And then it just sort of slows down. And then it becomes kind of like a little trickle as you're leading up to the draft. And, you know, as it happens over the past few weeks that we've been gone, there's been a trickle of stuff that has happened. And we'll talk about a little bit of that today. And then that's leading us to the draft. And then after the draft, there's an initial like big spike of activity and interest as everybody is trying to figure out how these new players that their team just drafted. And then of course you end up with all of the undrafted free agents that get signed. And you've got this whole batch of new players, the class of 2024, if you will. And then things sort of slow down for a little while again. And then you get into post June 1st, and then there's another flurry of activity as all of the teams have a little bit more money to play with. And then from there, it kind of slows down again for a little while until you get into training camp. But the good thing is when you don't do a show multiple times a week or every week, a little bit of that news piles up and it gives you a big chunk of stuff to talk about in a fresh episode. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to get caught up on all that stuff. But before we do that, a reminder to everybody, and I see there's quite a few people watching with us live right now on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Take a moment, if you will, smash that thumbs up button. We appreciate it. The algorithm appreciates it. So go ahead and do that. Smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel. And then make sure you're following us on Twitter.com, which is, I guess, where you can find X now. I am at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. And then you can download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphins show everywhere you get podcasts. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you like. And we appreciate you leaving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to the show over there as well. And if you really feel generous, go ahead and leave us a comment too, a positive review, wherever you do that. If you do it on Spotify, if you do it on Apple Podcasts, if you do it on SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever, leave us a comment. Say hi. We'd like to hear from you. And then, of course, make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins, and that's where all of the news has been gathering since we've been gone. And Brain, since we've been gone, there was kind of a little flurry of activity, if you will, for the Miami Dolphins.
Since we've been gone.
We got Aaron the Brain singing. This is good stuff here. This is good stuff. And, you know, the thing is, it's not just that stuff that has been going on with the Dolphins. There's been stuff going on elsewhere. But let's start with, you know, the big things that have happened since last we recorded is the Dolphins did bring back Kendall Lamb. Sounds like Kendall Lamb's going to give it one more go. It looks like they extended Raheem Mostert. They signed Tyre Tart to be a new defensive tackle. And there are a lot of rumors going around about Odell Beckham Jr. coming to the Miami Dolphins. And it sounds like it is fairly likely that that is something that is in fact going to happen. And that Beckham is going to be a Dolphin. Of course, nothing is guaranteed until it is, but that's kind of what it sounds like at the moment. So I guess, Brain, what I want to do is sort of check in with you and get your feeling on all of those moves. Let's go one by one. Let's start with Kendall Lamb coming back for another year. This seems like a pretty solid move. He was a very valuable player last year, given the, you know, injury prone nature of Teron Armstead. So having Kendall Lamb come back and to hopefully be that swing tackle guy that is hopefully not having to be in the lineup week in and week out. I think it's a pretty good deal, don't you?
Well, I think it's a great deal because you basically are getting him. I mean, you're getting him for nothing. I mean, you're basically getting him for what you got him for last year. You actually got him slightly less than what you got him for last year, almost an identical amount. You're getting him, I guess, all total 2.575. So he got a little bit more guaranteed money up front with this. So they gave him more money this year. You got 2.575 million this year. You got 1.3175 last year. You know, the whole idea of bringing Kendall Lamb back, it was always, well, yeah, as long as you're not paying him, you're not like overpaying for your swing tackle, you know, overpaying for a guy that, you know, when everything is right, is sitting on your bench, then you're happy with it because it's a great insurance plan. And the fact that you got that for, you know, $2.5 million, I think it's a great deal. So it really just kind of makes you feel a little bit more secure about that side of things with Teron Armstead. You know, he's going to miss a few games, and now you've got a guy who did a great job for him, backing him up last year, and you bring back that same rotation. So I think it's a good thing. It's a good move. It's good value. There's nothing to be upset about.
So that works out for the Miami Dolphins. Other moves that work out pretty well for them is extending Raheem Mostert. So it seems very much like they plan to run it back with the same running back room. It's going to be Mostert. It's going to be Achan. It's going to be Ahmed, Chris Brooks.
Well, it's going to be, well, they brought Wilson back too.
And Jeff Wilson. Yeah.
Yeah. They reworked Jeff Wilson's contract. So it looks like Jeff Wilson would be back. I would say, you know, Savon Ahmed is back, but not on any sort of big guaranteed money deal. So it would not shock me.
He's back for preseason.
Yeah. It would not shock me if Savon Ahmed, you know, ended up not making the 53 man at the end of it, or if he ended up on the practice squad again and, you know, was a guy that they could elevate. But yeah, for the large part, it does look like that's happening, barring them falling in love with a running back in the draft process and then him wowing them in training camp. I think they're going to bring back the same group. And the big thing about extending Mostert is what it does is it gives you flexibility going into next year. Instead of, you know, you bring back Mostert, you run everything back, and then Mostert has another good year, and now all of a sudden you've got him as an unrestricted free agent, and you either have to pivot away from him or you have to give him a big raise. Now you've got him locked in. So you've got that leverage and flexibility that you don't absolutely have to attack that position next off season, although it's definitely something to keep an eye on. But I think, again, it just kind of solidifies everything in that room. And again, they got him back at a team friendly deal for a guy that, you know, had a monster year last year. You got to be happy with getting him back at that price point. I mean, what did he sign? Like, he didn't even get that big of a raise, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was not a terribly expensive deal. So again, the Dolphins, a team that, I mean, before this past offseason, where again suddenly you had veteran running backs getting, you know, bigger deals. I mean, on a curve, right? Bigger deals for purposes of running backs, but the Dolphins are not a team that has been interested in spending a lot of money on the running back position for a little while. And, you know, the deal that they got, the return they got on their deal for Raheem Mostert was, I mean, unmatched. It was awesome. So, I mean, hard to be unhappy about that. You got the numbers there?
Yeah. And they brought him back. Essentially, he's going to make $4 million next year. He's scheduled to make 3.4 this year. You know, assuming, you know, he, you know, hits his roster bonus, his workout bonuses, you know, he's getting a $600,000 raise. And this is for a guy that, you know, just had what, like he set the team record, the franchise record in touchdowns last year. And I believe he was over 1,000 yards rushing. So
yeah,
you're bringing back the same room. He's got the same role. The fact that you could just lock him up for one more year and pay him basically the same contract, I think is a great move. Now, maybe he finally hits the wall at age 32 this year. And if that happens, you know, then, I mean, even still, you're not taking on a lot of risk, because he's only got like $1 million in dead cap. So if he has a bad year this year, you can still move on from him, and it's only really costing you $1 million.
Right. So it turns out to be a great deal for the Dolphins, I think, at the end. And if he produces anywhere near to the same level that he did last year, and I expect that more of the load is going to be shared with Achan this year. And if they get any kind of the same kind of production out of him, it's a great bargain for the Miami Dolphins. From there, we'll talk about the other thing that has definitely happened already, which is Taylor Tart, which they brought in to fill in that defensive tackle role. And this is like, it's very clear that the Dolphins have made the decision that what they're going to do to replace Christian Wilkins is go with quantity and bring in a lot of different guys to try to find the right piece to you're never going to find a one-for-one replacement for Christian Wilkins, but the hope is that between bringing in several different guys, you can have them cycle in and out, and hopefully you don't lose too much in terms of production from that position, and you can find the right person to partner with Zach Sealer, and, you know, from there, maybe things don't fall off too much on the defensive line.
I'm not necessarily sold that that's the full picture of the plan.
You think they're going to attack it more in the draft?
I think that, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the draft, in a little bit. But the way things are projected to fall, the Dolphins could be looking at a draft board where the two best players on the board are legitimate first-round defensive tackles. And so if that's the case, then I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, that's not necessarily the way that they're going to go. But I think what they're doing by getting quantity is they're trying to put themselves in a position where they're not pigeonholing themselves into, we have to draft this position, or we have to sign this position, after June 1st. None of the guys that they signed are guys that should exclude them from any plan of attacking defensive tackle. because the guys that they've signed, I mean, the best of them is Tyrre Tartt. And Tyrre Tartt comes in with big time red flags in the character department. Not a lot of games started. Not really a high pedigree of you know, statistical production or even snap production. I think, you know, what they've done at this position this offseason in free agency is they've brought in a lot of guys to raise the floor. To raise the floor on guys like Hand and Peely. And, you know, they also needed to replace Raekwon Davis. I don't know that they've necessarily gotten a Raekwon Davis like replacement, but I don't think that they've gotten somebody that is going to, I mean, they certainly haven't gotten somebody that's going to play 70 to 80% of the snaps like Christian Wilkins. And in that regard, yes, if they don't attack this position in the draft and they don't bring in somebody talented, then yes, they're going to end up trying to replace Christian Wilkins with a bunch of guys that are going to play 200 to 300 snaps. The problem with that, I don't think that that's going to be a recipe for success on the defensive line. I don't think that that, I mean, I know that's not what I want them to do and have coming into this, this next season. And I, frankly, I don't think that's the direction that they're planning on going, because I think if they don't attack it in the draft, I think it becomes one of the top priorities post June 1st to do with the money that's freed up there, with, you know, the Xavien Howard freed up cap space and, you know, also the impending Tua contract, which is going to free up probably a good chunk of change as well.
Right. And so that, I think, segues nicely into my next question for you, Brain, which is, given what we know has happened thus far in the offseason, and I'm not talking about things that we believe may happen, right? We're not talking about Odell Beckham Jr. We're not talking about the Tua contract situation to this point. Okay. We're talking about given the definite things that have happened, the players who have left, the players who have been brought in, and the situation the Dolphins find themselves in right now. It's an incomplete offseason, but based on where things stand right now, what would the letter grade be that you would give to this Dolphins offseason right now? And you can give it a view, you know, you can take that however you want. So if you want to grade it in the short term or grade it in the overall big picture, I think all of that can play into this letter grade that you decide you want to give it.
I think given the challenges that they had and given the circumstances just this year, because I could go back and I could, you know, question things that were done or not done last offseason or the offseason before then that could have changed the outlook of this offseason, but we're not going to do that. I'm going to deal with the here and now with what their challenges were coming into this offseason. And I think that I would give it probably a B, maybe a B minus. I would say that it's not how I would have attacked it. I would have done what I could do to bring back as many of my pillars as possible. And I realized the impending cap issue that would come a year or two or three down the road. But my feeling on it is that I would have basically built this thing to be all in, not this season, because I think that they were going to have an issue. Even if they went out and they spent everything that they could spend, they were going to have, if they did that, the depth of this team would be a major problem. So my plan was you bring back, you identify the guys that are the most important pieces. you bring them back, you extend them, you get into the whole restructure game and backloading things and pushing things off for a couple of years. And then, you know, you're probably going to have, you know, a very top heavy roster this year. And, you know, you're probably not a championship contender this year, but if you draft really well over the next couple of years, now you've got a couple of really good draft classes that you mix with really, really elite high-end talent. The Dolphins have gone the other direction, which was to basically say, we're basically not going to pay any of our big free agents because they're not at premium positions. And instead, we're going to use the money that we've saved to build the depth of the roster, which I think raises the floor of the team, given what we've seen the last 2 years with injuries cropping up on this team at the worst possible time in the season. I think the team this year will be more equipped to handle those injuries because I think they're going to be deeper, but I also think that they're going to have less high-end talent. Unless they absolutely crush it in the draft, this team is not going to have necessarily the highest ceiling or as high a ceiling as they did last year. Now, granted, you can make the case, well, if Tua gets better and Devon Achane gets better and the offense as a whole gets better because it's, you know, because Tua is better and it's the third year in the system and you've got a tight end now, that maybe that will overcome issues on the offensive line. But it kind of feels like it's Groundhog Day, where we're all lauding Chris Greer for doing all of, for making all of these moves and bringing in all of these players, and all of these players that we're excited about seeing play everywhere except for the offensive line. And at the end of the day, the offensive line has been the thing that has been the thorn in the side of this franchise for about 20 years. And so it's tricky. It's really tricky because since you didn't do that, now, you know, I talked earlier about, you know, all the players that they brought in on at defensive tackle because they don't want to pigeonhole themselves into, well, we have to draft a defensive tackle or we have to sign a defensive tackle. Well, the two guys that have left giant holes on this roster are at defensive tackle with Christian Wilkins and then Robert Hunt at right guard. And these guys have not been replaced. And so right now the defensive line looks weaker. The offensive line looks weaker, but we've got a lot more depth in other places.
There's a lot more time to go. We're not done yet.
Time to go. But at the end of the day, if based on where they're at right now and the prospect of what they can do, even if they were to draft a defensive tackle in round one and the pick is a slam dunk and it's great, the defensive line is still getting worse than it did last year because that guy's not going to come in and be Christian Wilkins day one.
Right. So your letter grade is what you say, B minus?
Yeah, I would say B minus.
Yeah, I think that's a little generous for me, frankly, just based on where we are right now, because given all of the reasons that you said, and it's the reason why, and again, if you're looking for the podcast that's going to tell you it's all sunshine and rainbows, this isn't the place, right? I think you can make an argument that given where the Dolphins put themselves, they've had a decent offseason, all things considered, you know, considering the sort of corner that they painted themselves into because of the approach going all in the last couple of seasons. I think you could argue that they've kind of made the best that they could out of the situation that they're currently in thus far. But I think when you look at the big picture, there is nothing that I have seen that has changed my opinion from the fact that this is a little bit of a reset season for the Miami Dolphins. And whether you want to call it a reset, whether you want to call it a transitional year, whether you want to call it a rebuild, whatever you want to call it, The fact of the matter is that it is a shift. We're seeing a shift in strategy from the Miami Dolphins from the last couple of years where they were approaching this thing as in we are living for right now. And given the way that this team has approached this offseason, you're starting to see them look at the moves that they're making being more than just about what is going to happen over the course of 2024. So, I mean, you could make an argument that it's been an okay offseason from that regard. But I also think you'd look at the big picture and you look at the fact that as of right now, I think, as you suggested, there's depth in some places that there maybe wasn't depth before. But otherwise, as I look at the team, I think outside of maybe getting a little bit of an upgrade, like I think you might be able to, at worst, I'd say it's a wash moving from Xavien Howard to Kendall Fuller. But potentially that's an upgrade for the Dolphins at cornerback. But depth there is still an issue right now. So the way that I look at it right now is that I don't know. I'm just kind of like, whatever. And I am not a draft guy. And we're going to talk more about the draft in just a moment. But regardless of what happens in the draft, nothing, I mean, unless something ridiculous happens, you know, the Dolphins make some sort of ridiculous move up to get like a, you know, a top tier guy, and that's not going to happen. I don't think I'm going to walk away from the draft feeling like now suddenly the team is a lot better. You know, a long way to go. We'll check in when we get to training camp. We get to the regular season. I mean, to me, it feels like, you know, it's a C. It's a C of an offseason. There are things that have been good about it. There have been things that are not good about it. On the whole, I think that this team has probably taken maybe a little bit of a step backwards. I think this team is, as you look at it right now, on April 15th, 2024, the team is not as good as it was, you know, before everybody started getting hurt at the end of last season. And even if you look at the roster at the end of the season and imagine that everybody is healthy, the team is worse than that now.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say the Dolphins took a completely opposite approach of the approach that they did.
Sure.
And they decided we're going all in 2024. We're bringing back Wilkins. We're bringing back Hunt. We're bringing back Williams, maybe not because the injury thing. We're bringing back Van Ginkle. We're still going to hang on to Xavien Howard because we need as many good corners. And you know, they went out and they signed Travis Henry. And they basically...
Derrick Henry,
not Titans and Bills legend Travis Henry. Let's say they brought in Derrick Henry and they made all the big splashy moves that, you know, kept all of their high-end talent. But they ended up, you know, with a lot less depth and an impending cap situation that would be really, really devastating and hard to maneuver. But you would legitimately look at the roster and say, yeah, this team got better from the team that they were last year. What would you grade that?
I mean, it's hard to, we're talking about hypotheticals here, so it's hard to say, but I mean,
well, my point is yes, it's a hypothetical, but
I get what you're saying.
Do you grade the off season based on the, you know, is the barometer of the off season, did our team get better? Or is the barometer of the offseason that we've set ourselves up as best as we could for not just this season, but also going forward? I think it was a really tricky situation that they painted themselves into. And I think Chris Greer, to this point, has done a decent job. I don't think he's done a great job. I said right at the top that I don't think this is what I would have done or how I would have worked it. But all things considered, the Dolphins are coming into the draft. We'll see how that plays out. But they have definitive needs. They have a definitive need at defensive tackle. They have a definitive need at right guard. They don't really have another need on the offensive line. Would you love a long-term upgrade at left tackle, given Teron Armstead and the question about his future? Sure, but for this coming season, you really only have one question on the offensive line, and that's the guard position. You really only have one question on the interior defensive line, which is replacing Christian Wilkins, which are the two big holes. You've got questions at edge that are going to remain questions at edge until we know what the timeline is on Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb, but you have the ability to address all of those positions, and you're going to have a lot of money after June 1st, where if you need to address those positions for this upcoming season, you're going to be able to do so. So I think they've put themselves in a position where they have given themselves more flexibility in the long term, and they have put themselves in position to still be very, very competitive and arguably as good as anybody in their division coming into this season, which, given all of the challenges, I think is a pretty solid place to be. So I think B minus, I think, is fair.
Yeah, I mean, fine. I'll also tell you that, you know, the Miami Dolphins are the kings of the team that you can say, well, they got better in theory.
Well, that's exactly my point, because that's the most same old Dolphins thing to do this offseason would have been, we need to win right now, and we're running the whole thing back, and we're going to give out some backloaded contracts to some aging free agents because we're trying to strike while the iron is hot, because we literally did that last season.
Right.
We literally did that the last two seasons. From the Bradley trade, Bradley Chubb trade on through last offseason, the Dolphins have been in a continuous, we're telling you that we are in win now mode and we are going all in. And they did all of that and did not win a playoff game in those two seasons.
Right.
So that would be the same old Dolphins thing to do.
Right. And here's the thing. It's like, and I've been saying this
different approach.
And I've been saying this all offseason is that, yes, they are taking that different approach. It's obvious that they're taking that different approach. And based on the way things are going on around them and based on how weird the NFL is, it's very possible that in spite of all of that, this could be the year that they somehow win a playoff game. This could be the year. Yes. You might argue that they're actually in better position to win the AFCs this season than they were last year. You could make the argument.
Yes. Yes. And I think, like, at the end of this, granted, we have to see the way that the rest of this offseason plays out.
Exactly. And like, here's the thing.
We got to see
who
they draft. Yeah, go ahead.
The ultimate reason why I think it's the greatest to see right now is because it's incomplete. And because this is a team that has now putting so much stock into their ability to hit in the draft, and that is something that historically – that they've been, you know, at best, you know, break even on, which some people would tell you, well, that makes him really good. But
I would say they've been average.
Yeah. I would say that this team has been average in the draft, and it is putting significant pressure, especially on the fact that they don't have as much draft capital. You know, they haven't had a lot of draft capital, put significant pressure on their ability to hit in the draft. And what is the thing that the Dolphins need? What is one of the key positions that the Dolphins need in the draft? Offensive lineman.
Yeah. Offensive line, defensive tackle, wide receiver, I would say.
And the big thing is they got, you know, the one guy that I think you could genuinely walk away and say that this was a guy that they drafted to play offensive line and was absolutely a hit. They let walk after his rookie deal in Robert Hunt.
Yeah.
You will, I'm sure there will be some people in the comments telling me that, well, you hit on Austin Jackson. You did not hit on Austin Jackson based on where he was drafted.
Well,
And let's also say that, yeah, you extended him, but you extended him based on the play of one season. And he had been a disaster before that season.
Austin Jackson is tricky because usually 4 years after a draft class, you have a definitive idea of whether you hit on a draft pick or not. And typically, especially a first round pick, if you sign them to a second contract, the general consensus at that point is, well, yeah, you hit on your pick. If you drafted a guy in the first round and you signed him to a contract extension, you generally feel like you hit. But the fact that he was, you know, that there was no production at all his first three seasons.
Correct.
And that, you know, he just had the one good year. It does beg the question that, you know, was it a little bit of a fluke? Is it a symptom of the system and the getting the ball out in 2.5 seconds? And if we weren't getting the ball out in 2.5 seconds, would Austin Jackson have given up more sacks and more pressures? The offense was, Austin Jackson had a very nice year last year. Yeah. And the fact that they signed him to an extension that was not an overly pricey extension, I think you could argue that they hit on that pick because it's not like he was a top 10 pick. Did they reach on him at 18? Yeah, but the reason that they reached on him, the reason people felt it was a reach is because he was very much a developmental player. He was a guy with a lot of tools who was raw, who was going to take a lot of time to develop, and he wasn't going to be a day one starter. The problem is that the Dolphins drafted him to be a day one starter.
Right. And it took him 4 years.
Yeah. But if the knock on the guy coming out of the draft was, this guy has all the tools, it just might take him a while to develop, and it took him a while to develop, and then he developed, I don't know that it's such a bad pick.
Well, let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes in 2024, and then we can talk from there. The fact of the matter is, I still don't feel great about having to trust Chris Greer to draft offensive linemen, is basically what I'm saying.
That's fair.
So that's kind of where I am at.
Because he also drafted Liam Eikenberg.
Correct. Traded up.
Yes.
Traded up to draft Liam Eikenberg.
He also signed Eric Flowers and drafted, what's his name, out of Georgia, Kindley.
Yeah, Solomon Kindley, yeah. So, you know, I'm sticking with my C grade for this offseason so far, and we'll see where things are at. We'll see where things are at later. But, Brain, there's a couple other things that we need to talk about before we move to the draft, and we are going to talk about the draft. But the first thing is that Tua Tagovailoa reported to the optional offseason program today. And this in spite of the fact that the Dolphins have not yet agreed to terms with Tua Tagovailoa on a new contract. It still feels very much like this contract is coming and it is going to be something that, you know, he is going to be a very well-paid player in the National Football League here in the next several weeks, but it hasn't happened yet. So I kind of want to just get your sense of where things are at. And, you know, it seems like relations between the team and Tua are in a good place. They're just, I guess, haven't found the sweet spot yet.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot, particularly with Tua and, you know, his injury history, that they're going to structure this contract. I think it's going to be a complicated contract. It's going to have, you know, similarities to Jalen Hurts's contract. There's going to be a lot of exit ramps off of this contract. They're going to pay him a lot of money. He's going to get a very large signing bonus and he's going to get a large amount of guaranteed money. And when all is said and done, he's probably going to sign a contract that when he signs it is, if not going to make him the highest paid quarterback based on annual average salary, it's going to put him in the top five. And so it's going to make a lot of news, but then there's going to be the way that the thing is structured. And we'll see. And I think this thing just kind of takes time. But the fact that the vibes are so good between the team and Tua, there's very little doubt that this thing is going to be done. And it's probably going to be done before training camp would be my guess. It's probably going to be done before June 1st, because I think I think at this point, the Dolphins are fine going into the draft with what they've got. I don't think that they're going to, you know, need to free up a bunch of money to make some splash signing before the draft. So I think you're going to draft some guys, and then you're going to have money to sign them. And you're going to have June 1st free up a lot of money to not just sign those guys, but to also have money to play with, to fill in some other holes. And then you want that money to be freed up from the Tua extension as well, so that if you need to pick up two or three guys post June 1st, you can do it. So I think it's going to get done. I don't think anybody's worried about it. I think the people that are worried about it are just need to calm down.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also fair to say that there are a lot of people who, I think there's a lot of people out there that don't want that to happen. They don't.
I think there's a lot of people that are hoping, hey, every day that Tua does not sign this extension is a win for the Dolphins.
Right. That's right. They're hoping that something is going to, you know, go horribly wrong with those negotiations. There's another set of negotiations that have come to people's attention, Brain, on Monday, because wide receiver DeVonta Smith,
yep,
will play on his fifth year option for the Philadelphia Eagles, who also announced a 3-year extension for Smith that is worth $75 million, a $25 million AAV between 2026 and 2028. And that has sort of sprung the Dolphins community into conversations about whether they should move to lock down Jaylen Waddle right now. Now, what we know about Jaylen Waddle right now is he's prepared to go into the fourth year of his rookie deal. The Dolphins have until May 2nd to announce whether they're going to pick up Waddle's fifth year option, which
they will.
They're clearly going to do. The question is whether they are going to extend him this offseason or push it till next offseason. Now, again, this is the situation. They are finding themselves in a very similar situation to the same situation they were in with Christian Wilkins and with Robert Hunt, which is, do you pay this guy? Do you pay Jaylen Waddle going into his fourth year and extend him now and get it done with? Or do you wait? Now, my thought of the matter is that, you know, we know that Jaylen Waddle is a guy that the Dolphins are going to need to pay. And based on the fact that they let Hunt and Wilkins go, suggests to me that the Dolphins have every intention of paying Jaylen Waddle.
Chris Greer said as much. I mean, he said, I anticipate that Jaylen Waddle is going to be a Miami Dolphin for a very long time.
Yeah, it would be the height of lunacy for the Dolphins not to lock him up, especially. I mean, as a whole, you could do a whole episode on the state of where things are with Tyreek Hill. And some people have done episodes on where things are with Tyreek Hill. But what I would say is, based on the fact that the Dolphins have not restructured Tyreek Hill, suggests to me that there is absolutely a world in which 2024 is the last season that Tyreek Hill plays in a Miami Dolphins uniform, and where Jaylen Waddle becomes the Miami Dolphins number one receiver from 2025 and beyond. And so that puts the Dolphins in that position of, well, looking at it through that lens, I would say the Dolphins need to lock him up now rather than let him. And this is actually me completely reversing a position that I was in earlier today, which is funny. But now as I talk it through,
yes.
You know, when you find yourself looking at the situation, is he's definitely your number two right now, and you can pay him solid number two money right around the same range, you know, the same ballpark as where DeVonta Smith got his extension. But if you wait and he puts up another huge year, and then Tyreek Hill is no longer part of your plans, Now you find yourself in next year's offseason having to pay him even more. So should the Dolphins sign him up? And what do you think, based on the contract that DeVonta Smith got, what kind of numbers do you think the Dolphins, if they decide to lock Waddle up now, would be looking at?
So it's great. I think that the DeVonta Smith extension coming when it did at the amount that it did is great, because DeVonta Smith and Jalen Waddle have been tied since they were at Alabama as teammates. When they came out of the draft, there was a lot of people debating with the Dolphins having the sixth pick. Was the sixth pick that we took Waddle? I think it was the number six pick.
Yes, they traded down. They traded down from three to
12 and then up to six.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So there were a lot of people that wanted the Dolphins to take DeVonta Smith at that pick, because these were two receivers that were basically graded very similarly. But Waddle had more big play capability. DeVonta Smith was seen as the guy with more sure hands. But I think the way that it's come to fruition, Jalen Waddle has been a slightly better player than DeVonta Smith through their first 3 years. He had the season as a rookie where he was, you know, targeted a ton of times, or he set the rookie record, the NFL rookie record for receptions. So he proved to you that he could be a number one. And then predictably, after you get Tyreek Hill, his production goes down a little bit because of the volume, but the production has still been there from a yards per reception standpoint. And the thing that we've needed to see with him is that we've seen him play through injury. We've seen him make tough contested catches. Jalen Waddle has proven himself to be this guy's a top 10 receiver in the league. Like,
absolutely.
Like, some people might argue that because the production isn't necessarily there, but that's because all of the volume that Tyreek Hill eats up. Jalen Waddle is a top 10 receiver in this league. And I think he's, you know, even statistically, eye test will show you that Jalen Waddle is a slightly better player than DeVonta Smith, and production would show you statistically that Jalen Waddle is a slightly better player than DeVonta Smith. Now, are they as good as Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase? No. And so those two guys are going to get, they're going to reset the market. And those two guys are probably going to get paid more than what Tyreek Hill is being paid.
100%.
The fact that not all of these guys are going in, to contract negotiations at the same time, the fact that now you've got a bar that's been set, you could go and to Jalen Waddle and say, look, this guy came out the same year as you. Very similar situation where he's a top flight wide receiver, but he happens to be the number two receiver on his team because the number one receiver on his team is AJ Brown. And so the volume isn't quite there, but he's still extremely productive. We think that you're a little bit better than him, and so we're going to pay you more than him. And you can get out ahead of it right now before guys like, you know, Brandon Ayuk sign their contract and other guys from that draft that have their contracts coming up. Or a T Higgins is going to get a big deal coming up pretty soon. CeeDee Lamb is going to get a big deal coming up pretty soon. You've got to get ahead of this, because what's going to happen is that each time one of these guys sign, they're going to sign for a little bit more. And the longer you wait, you're going to end up paying more. And if you don't, and if you play this out the way that you just played this out a few minutes ago, where you don't extend him this season, you let him play this coming season, and he plays great, but you have an issue with Tyreek Hill, maybe you don't want to give him a contract extension and you don't want to pay him his big cap number, and so you move on from Tyreek Hill. Well, now you're in a position where you absolutely have to extend Jalen Waddle, but you're in the exact situation with Christian Wilkins where he's about to go into a contract year and he could legitimately just say, you know what? I'm going to bet on myself, because I'm going to bet that if I'm the number one receiver here and Tyreek Hill isn't here, you're going to target me 180 times, and I'm going to put up 1,800 yards receiving and 15 touchdowns, and then I'm going to get paid like Justin Jefferson when he's not as good as Justin Jefferson. but he statistically could put that kind of season up if he's given that situation. So you need to get ahead of this so that you don't put yourself in that situation where this guy just prices himself out, even though he's not going to price himself out because the Dolphins are going to be in a situation where they absolutely have to sign him. So you're either going to sign him for what he deserves, which is going to be around $26 or $27 million a year, or you're going to wait and you're going to end up paying this guy like $30 to $32 million a year in a couple seasons.
Yeah. So I think we've both landed on the team of let's just sign him up. Sign him this offseason, lock it up, get it done.
Get the Tua deal done. That's obviously the first priority. That's
the number one priority. Yes, absolutely.
Get the Tua deal done. Figure out your 2024 roster. Like, get your June 1st stuff done. And then as soon as that stuff is done, let's be ready. I mean, you should be working it all. You should be working on it all at the same time. But in priorities, I would say get the Tua deal done. Get the June 1st stuff done with your 2024 roster. But let's have this deal done before the start of the season or early in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to get it done sooner rather than later because you don't want any of those other contracts to start coming in. You've got this timing now on the back of the Devontae Smith deal, which is going to set you up. So that's where we're at right now. Now the next thing, and we've kind of gone long here, Brain, so I'm almost thinking that we should push the draft talk till next week's show, but let's touch on it real quick.
Let's talk about it a little bit, and then do a show next week where we dig in a little bit more.
And here's the thing. This is not, if you're looking for the show where you want positional breakdowns, and this is this player, that player, the other guy, that's not this show, okay? Because I'm not going to sit there and watch, you know, a 5-minute summary of everybody in the draft and then tell you that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to these college guys. I'm not there, you know, watching hours and hours of tape. I'm not going to read a couple summaries of players and watch a couple highlight reels and tell you that I know who these guys are. I'm not going to do that. That would be dishonest. And if that's what you're looking for, there are places where you can go and you can get that. Okay. I am a guy that I am going to listen to what other people are saying about these prospects in the draft, and I'm not going to form an opinion one way or the other. I've got ideas of what I think the Dolphins should do in terms of areas of need and what the Dolphins need to address in the draft, and that's what we're going to talk about. We can talk about strategy for what the Dolphins can do, but I'm not going to get into the merits of player A versus player B versus player C because that's just not something that I'm well equipped to do. And I'm not going to pretend that either. Like I said, there are other places where you can go and you can get that information. But what I can tell you is that I can look at this roster and go, the Dolphins need to address guard. The Dolphins need to address defensive tackle. The Dolphins need to address wide receiver, and the Dolphins need to address safety. And I think they can also, you know, always use a little bit of more depth at linebacker as well. Those are areas of need for the Miami Dolphins. And I think, you know, I say this all the time that with draft capital, there are several options of what you can do with draft capital. If you've got a lot of draft capital, you can, you know, obviously you use it all to make picks, or you can use it as ammunition to move around. Or you can trade back and you can do, you know, create more draft capital for yourself. The way that I look at where the Dolphins are in 21, based on consensus, is that there is a good possibility that when the Dolphins draft at 21, that there will be several candidates available at the guard position, and there will be several candidates available at the defensive tackle position. The gamble is, Do the Dolphins decide that they have a guy that they like enough to stay at pick 21 to grab? Or do they want to gamble? Can they afford to move back a little bit because there are several players that they have rated similarly that they can move back and add some more draft capital in the second round and still get somebody that they don't feel like there is a significant drop off by moving out of that 21 slot. So that, you know, as I think about it, you know, those are my questions as I look at the draft. But Brain, do you have more specific thoughts about the Dolphins draft? And understanding that we're going to do another episode next week that's going to delve into this in a lot, you know, more detail.
My question to you is, and really to everybody listening, what would make this a successful draft? Like the Dolphins draft, like I'm not talking about like 3 years from now when it's easy to say whether it was a successful or unsuccessful draft. I'm saying we have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday draft. So when it's Saturday night, it's Sunday morning, you've had some time to process it. We're doing a show on Monday after the draft. We're going to look at that draft and say that the Dolphins had a successful draft because why?
They have at least two immediate contributors.
Okay. Yeah. I think that that's fair. I think given where this team is, the way that they've drafted the last couple of years with a lack of capital and the fact that their picks over the last couple of years have not made any sort of immediate impact at all. I think it's fair to expect that, or to have the expectation that the Dolphins have some guys out of this draft that come in and make an immediate impact and are immediately, you know, quality players, whether they're starters or they're, you know, rotational players that are playing vital roles on this team. I think that's fair. I think some people would answer that question and say, well, did you address your needs? We come in with glaring needs at defensive tackle and at right guard. So I think a lot of people will say, well, did you get your defensive tackle and did you get your right guard? I think people will say, well, you've got a definitive need at your third wide receiver spot. We've been talking about it since the end of last season about how big of a problem that was, that, you know, once Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle were not 100%. There was nobody else that could beat man coverage. So are we getting a third wide receiver? Now, maybe that's going to be Odell Beckham Jr. Maybe that's not. But there's going to be people that say, well, you know, did you address your needs? So, I mean, your needs, defensive tackle, guard, wide receiver, you said safety. I would argue edge is an ancillary need. I would argue long-term, you've got to figure out who your left tackle is going to be. You don't absolutely have to get it in this draft, but if you could get it in this draft, I think there's a lot of value to that. But then again, do you draft it? That goes back to, you know, how do you view this as a success? Because if you view this as a success, as I want my first round pick to make an immediate impact, I want my first round pick to be a starter, and then we go out and we draft a left tackle who is just a tackle and can't play guard, well, then guess what? There's a really good chance that our first round pick isn't going to play a snap this year. And that doesn't necessarily make it a bad pick, because if he doesn't play a snap, but then he comes in next year and he's a stud left tackle, you're going to look back at that pick and you're going to say, that's outstanding. What a great pick it was. What great foresight. And so I say all of that to say, this draft is going to be successful if the Dolphins got good players. You just have to get good players. And it would be ideal if these players can make an immediate impact. I agree with you. I think given the last 2 years, I want to come out of this draft with some guys that I see right away and I say, oh yeah, like this guy is an upgrade over what we have here. And this guy made the room better. I would love to see that. But at the end of the day, if you got good players, you're probably going to see that. So that's where it comes down to. And the reason that I say that, not just because, you know, I agree with that, you know, not just because that's my point, but also because I think as we've belabored the point of how the Dolphins have flubbed offensive line or ignored offensive line or not overly invested into offensive line, I think we have to get comfortable with the possibility that the Dolphins do not draft an offensive lineman in the first 2 days of this draft, and that doesn't necessarily make it a bad draft. Because if you get to a point in the first round where the best two players on the draft on the board are defensive tackles. You could make a case for Cooper DeJean at safety. We'll talk more about that next week because we're running long. I probably am not taking wide receiver because the wide receiver depth is so great that if we're sticking at 21, I think you can get, if you're dead set on getting a wide receiver, and then you could trade down and you can get extra picks. I'm probably not taking a wide receiver there, but if you don't take an offensive lineman, let's say you take the best player, taking the best player available is literally the best way to go. That it's always the best way to go. And if the best player available is a defensive tackle, then great. You're taking the best player available. It's at a definitive need. It's a home run pick. But then when you come back to 55, if you didn't trade back to get more draft capital, you might get to 55 and the offensive linemen that are on the board. Are you going to reach for an offensive lineman just for the sake of getting an offensive lineman? Because that's how you end up with Austin Jackson for the first 3 years of his career. And that's how you end up trading up for Liam Eichenberg. So no, I'm letting the board fall. And if I don't end up with an offensive lineman because it doesn't make sense because the board doesn't fall that way, I'm fine with it. And then I'm saying, well, I've got all this money at the end of June 1st where maybe this is the year that we finally sign Dalton Risner.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. So there it is. All this to say that we probably don't know if it's a good draft come the Monday after the draft. You don't know at that point whether it's a good draft. You might have an idea. You might have a lean, depending on how things all play out. But when you'll really know is when the season gets up and running and you've actually seen these guys on an NFL roster, on an NFL team, play the game. And as we've said about Austin Jackson, it might take 4 years until you learn whether or not you hit on that draft pick. So we'll find out. But either way, we're going to have a much deeper conversation about the draft next week on the show. And we hope that you will join us right here on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, and on X. All the people watching over on X. So once again, give us a follow at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Smash that like button for the algorithm. Leave us a comment. Tell us what your thoughts are. What would you grade the offseason so far? What do you want to see the Dolphins do in the draft? Where do you want to see them address their needs? We will be back next week right here. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
I'm not saying he's the guy that I pick, but as a Jew, I'd be very happy with Adonai Mitchell.